Next speaker is Azizur Malla, who is an associate professor in the Department of Public Health, College of Health Professions at Grand Valley State University in Michigan. His areas of interest include social and behavioral health, community health, environmental health, health education and promotion, as well as health communication and advocacy, including research methods. He has 10 years of college and university level experience in teaching and doing research in public health issues in Bangladesh, in the U.S., and in Haiti. So, these are.
Thank you, Helen. And I appreciate all of your presence. Before I start, I should say myself and my co-authors don't have any relationship with any parties concerned. We have listened to Michelle and Slonz's work in U.S. I'll be taking you to Haiti to talk more about the Haiti situation in there. And I appreciate your presence in here. What we did in here in Haiti project, this is a collaborative interdisciplinary project. So this project, we try to understand how multiple discipline can address a certain problem and take it to a sustainable level, involving the local community. That is the approach you have taken, and you have seen that John Johnson, he's an American, but working with that hospital, Albert Schweitzer, that is a philanthropy, New York-based philanthropist. He established this hospital in Haiti and helping the very, very rural community. We involved the GBSU students, and also we got funding from our university research unit. That's the way we started. Now, whenever I think about Haiti, I know I declare that no relationship with the any parties involved, but I have solid, not only myself, my collaborators, a solid relationship with the study population. We worked in Haiti. We still visualize the time, the kind of a problem they are going through. Since cities, it's common that water people can get treated water, they can sold in bags or in bottles. But in rural areas, people even go to a mile to 5 miles. And in 5 miles, the rural very uphill, downhill area is very far. You can see a mile, but to reach in the actual take an hour, maybe more than that. So that's the kind of a geological situation in there, geological situation that springs are contaminated to resulting dysentery and other diseases. If you say child mortality is 15 times more than in U.S. situations. If you based on Haiti on a poverty scale, it's 174th out of 194 countries. So that is the situation. If you see that, we have been talking, there's a Millennium Development Goal and other things setting up. This is their toilet. Most of the people use these things. It's basically make a hole and then over this apart. If you can afford, put a concrete kind of a pit or use like a bamboo or a stick, something like that. That is the way. Geological feature of that country is if you make a hole, it is not normal soil, it's limestone. So that hole is connected all the way to the outer body. So whatever this fecal matter is going in there is connecting ultimately with the water body. That is the feature we have. We concentrated our work in that hospital area. I'll be showing you specifically what area we'll be working. That Arbonite Valley is the location of the study, and that's the place the cholera outbreak is happening. And then regional hospital for laboratory and logistics. That's the only health center they have. Recently, you might know that Dr. Paul Farmer of Harvard University, they started a new hospital, but not that close by. That is far. I believe and I wish there will be people like Albert and Paul Farmer should come up more to that area, which is less troubled. And a representative of that area represents 65% of the population in the rural. And one of my colleagues has been working in there since 2008. And then myself and another collaborators right in that corner, Dr. Redisky, also joined, and we started working on that project. Now, what the hospital is doing is 130-bed rural hospital with the remote dispensaries in the mountains, because it's not possible. If a patient tried to come to the hospital, whole day will go. And they will be losing their earning, and cannot even finish getting the treatment and all go back home. Such an area we are talking about. Sevier, roughly 350 population is in there and provides care almost everything you can think of. Our university has a collaboration with them, with their community development project. So as all 3 year applied researcher, the way we think is like, we faculty sometimes think, many of us think that, go to a study population, conduct the study, collect the data, publish it, you're done. Good for your resume, good for your promotion at tenure track. We believe in a different approach. I don't know, we committed, assess the situation of a community, let's do something else in an applied point of view so that we can help the community to move up their situation. So if you think in a radius point of view, pointing the center as a hospital, we try to cover areas so that we can make our study population more representative. That's the part of studies we have taken. We collected water sample in there, and we in fact tested several parameters like E. coli, coliform, also turbidity, many other factors. So we did that. You may know that coliform, whenever it is more than the level, is yellowish. We use CalAlert method to test the water level or quality of water, and also same method to see the E. coli level in the water to understand the level of contamination and then how that is really contributing to the disease. What we did is the 10 days, you know, we all are teaching in the faculty community, so we have to make a time to go to another country. So that is a May 1 to May 12, that's the time frame we used. We collected over 100 samples, water sources from the right, from the origin, from the storage, the places they're using the water, so that some of them are treated, some of them are not treated, so that we can have a very good, solid data set. We have another paper in day after tomorrow that will be talking more about that water sampling and testing. 6 individual interviews and also conducted 6 focus group discussions so that we can use all those multi-factors methods, mixed methods, to understand what is really happening and how that can be addressed. What the problem we have been forcing is that sustainable clean water intervention must be culturally appropriate. When we are doing our literature review, we found that Haiti, many people are giving tons of money. Some of them even went there with a solar-powered water filter. And we saw that the solar-powered water filter, the filter is not working because they installed that sophisticated filtration system in there. But the people who did that, they didn't train up the local people who are the users. As a result, that sophisticated technology didn't produce any good results, rather than we saw highly contaminated water coming through that system. Mostly water quality studies and intervention like the ethnographic, what we see the intensive method. See people's problem, putting yourself in their shoes. That is the perspective we are seeing. Until and unless we can put ourselves in their shoes, then you are basically not completing your outlook or assessment. And complex water problems require interdisciplinary part. And based on all our ideology, we found out that this kind of a methods, a model, that geology, hydrology, whatever the disciplines involved with the water resources, if that problem go through a transdisciplinary approach, the social part, the natural science, pure science, and they can contribute and make a clear filtration, that will definitely ensure safe water. And that can address problems like cholera, dysentery, many other waterborne diseases. So what we did, household ethnographic surveys, we collected family history, their economics, we call economic, they call means, M-E-A-N-S. Means is their term of economy. If I don't have means, you cannot do that. And there's another notation from them that hungry dogs do not know how to play. So that is the, it seems like they're way more powerful researcher than us. They can understand their situation. Their focus group discussion, and we brought up the community perspective, and also we interviewed many people. We use audio, we use video, and also handwritten notes so that we don't have to depend on our own cooking mechanism, rather than we can depend on the real data set in there. So we conducted, as I told you before, the coli, the conductance, chlorine residual, and also turbidity. These are the work we tested from the water point of view. Determined the study population, tried to understand the social landscape, including the population, what the problem they are facing, why they are in there, what factors contributing, then try to understand from many angles, like from participant observation, intensive interview method, of focus group discussion, and we come up with a very good idea. But that was not our initial standstill. Initially, when we started, we have different notions or assumptions or perception. One of them is, it is impossible to get data about Voodoo religion. Some of you may know that Voodoo is one kind of a religion based on spirit. They believe you need to satisfy or please certain spirits, otherwise you will be cursed and then you will be sick, you will be paying the price. So they have a spirit even to guard their water body. And to please their spirit, they usually throw stinking food, slaughter goats, chicken, candle wax, even sometimes wine and other things. They do not relate that that is the pathways of water contamination. They relate that's the way they are saving their water body. There's another one, Mapu tree is a dance of spirits. So if someone, a rural Haitian isolated one, is walking down the Mapu tree, that is okay, if I have to be very nice and gentle, if any of this spirit is not happy on me, I'll be sick, I'll be cursed. So that is the part we saw that. From the Buddha point of view, what we did, we tried to understand themselves, their perspective. We respected their religious beliefs and other things. And we ended up that we conducted a focus group discussion right inside the Buddha church. So that is one of our success, I should say. We gathered many data on all those dens, Buddha spirit religion, how this is associated, how this is guiding them in taking care of their personal health and sanitation part. Also, we conducted a focus group discussion in right under the Mapu tree. They usually do not spend time under that tree because that tree was risky. If some spirit is not happy on me, I'll be sick. I'll be cursed. So that's another part. One other assumption we had before is that it's pretty embarrassing to talk about toilet use to sanitary practice because people feel embarrassed. How can I talk about that? I use a rock to clean my butt after pooping. How can I use that? I use dry leaves. How can I even say that I don't have any toilet in my home? I could go out in the jungle and use it, sometimes make a hole, cover it up, or sometimes I don't care about that. But our rapport building really paid off. And we collected a very solid data set, and still we're working on that. Try to understand. Here is the inside. One part of that Voodoo church we conducting a four-square discussion is definitely any other church, but there's many symbols, pictures, and other things that represent their belief system. Many ways they hang many things, like half of the bottle is sand, half of the bottle is oil, many objects like that. Here is a Mapu tree. If you see one Mapu tree in here, that will be sufficient to cover the whole convention center. So it's such a big tree. Here is another segment of the population, the Boku people, also Dr. Fei. They believe in the power of natural pharmacy, which are leaves, roots, how they can use that for the benefit of their health and other part. So these are the very important factors. You may know historically Haiti was very Voodoo followers backed up if you go to the independence and all those things. So they have a role. As a result, the whole society is shaped that, okay, Voodoo is part of our life rather than our, some of the belief is not scientific or not helping us, sometimes it's harming us. So they have their own kind of a way of thinking. We have very intensive interview, try to understand, but you may see that in developing country, including the country I am born in Bangladesh, you say if you talk to a person, your neighbors, your relatives will come up and talk to you to try to understand what's happening in here.
Was
So you can see that what we two lessons learned, that is the lady is talking in a different language. We had interpreter, and we tried to make sure that our data is authentic. So we used a different kind of methods to make sure that. And another lesson is like this young mother, with a little bit of knowledge, she is trying her best to ensure that her kid is getting safe water. So that is the part. From the toilet point of view, significant proportion. 63% use open latrine, which is very any open jungle area or shaded area they use. And the remaining people have peat toilet. Peat toilet is basically a concrete hole. So that is not, from sanitation point of view, it's not sanitary because the flies can go up and down, which means it can carry any germ from there. So that is the situation in having there. What is your result? The sanitation practices contributing the water contamination in there, in addition of the geological feature of the country. Open defecation was practiced by majority of the household surveyed, leading to widespread contamination in shallow aquifers. We also tested some 12% of the still treating water and 90% of the filter is not working, and many of them being used by children with young age. So that is kind of a situation. What is the outcomes you expected? Expanded use and also integration of ethnographic methods. As it also, we try to understand how one research method can benefit another and really complement to get the facts out of the study population. Determination of water quality of drinking water in local household and their sources. We use both qualitative and quantitative methods to understand the situation surrounded by water and sanitation. And we developed recommendation for safe and sustainable water supplies. Now we are trying to make sure that how another intervention like hook a tube well hand pump close to the water body, which has a good filtration, that can be intervention to provide them safe water. That is being going on now. I hope to share some of those results in future. Thank you so much.
I think we've got time for maybe one or two questions before the next speaker.
Anyone? Yes, go ahead, please. Can you say a bit louder?
Yes.
Okay. For the recording purpose, if I hear you correctly, you'd like to know that what is the findings or observation based on solar-powered filter?
Or if you shared your findings with the people that installed so that they could then go back and train.
Okay. Yeah, we have findings that certain households who the installer are basically the company-based people who developed that intervention. So we didn't track any particular research groups on that. Rather than it's like a, say for example, Alcon is a Canada-based company. They usually use like a life straw. So if you put any water and go through the straw, you can get it. So sometimes many, after the earthquake and their cholera outbreak, many organizations went there and tried several of their interventions to understand whether that is effective or not. So that is from the provider's point of view. The second is, yes, who are the people got that kind of a? It seems that people who have a better household, they have the, say for example, a bit better roof to install, or instead of like a muddy wall, they have a bit concrete wall, that's kind of a household installed. The question is sometimes they do not have enough knowledge to, and they are not trained up. Interestingly is, even though this very, very illiterate people, but whenever talk about, do you know that how cholera is creating? They'll say, yeah, microbes. So what does that mean in addition of presence of the NGOs? They have been listening certain technical jargons again and again. So they can relate, but whenever you ask them, do you know what is microbes? No. So that is the part is we are missing. It's like, people like us, if you go in there and in one day, 2 days, 1 month, that's not enough. That it's like we have been working to create some kind of a pamphlet, leaflet, that will be attached right in front of their filtration system. They don't even know how much chlorine needs to be put, two, three, how much water. These are the little things need to be like provided to them so that they can utilize instantly. That's kind of intervention is going on. But I agree with you that, yes, there is lack of coordination in there. Who is doing what and who is being benefited, that part, that may be a big study area, another good area to do research.
Thank you.
Thank you.